You know and love the Scrubble Stars at the Town Center, Fleming Island, and Atlantic Beach. Now get ready for 4 new locations scrubbing soon this year, featuring Kernan, San Jose, Racetrack Road, and Oakleaf. Scrubbles, trust the bow tie. You'll know quality once you arrive.
It's a process. I mean, obviously, we're trying to get better every day, and that's just part of the game.
I just like how close we all got. You know, you're talking about going through OTAs. We get this little break, come back there in camp, and nothing changed. You know, everybody's still asking questions. Everybody's still trying to get close. Everybody's still trying to grant that fellowship, that brothership, and I feel like that's awesome. You know, you go on the first day, everybody's still working hard. Everybody's still trying to learn more, and I think that's the coolest part.
It's the start of a new beginning, new season. Optimism, and you just grind every day to be the best you can be so it doesn't get old. You got to push through every single day.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the real deal. I mean, I know it's so early, but just the way it comes out of his hands, the way he throws, his accuracy.
As a football player, you're not going to always have your best day. And that's why we come out here and work each and every day. And I feel like it's better to have those days now than have them later in the season.
That's what leadership's about. And Urban's a good leader. I mean, you can dislike Urban all you want. And Urban is not for everyone. I get that. And that's fine. But you can't argue the fact that the guy is a leader. And he's had success as a leader.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, there you go. A few of the sounds of the early days of training camp 2021 to get you going here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, everybody. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, ET here with you, and the boys are in pads today. In fact, Tony has challenged E to an Oklahoma drill in the hallway in between segments, and I'm looking forward to that. Usually it's ET, Tony, doing the challenging, the physical feats, but you got a little frisky this morning, huh?
Did I?
Did I mishear that? I could have sworn I heard you saying, E, you and me, hallway, Oklahoma drill, 10 minutes from now. Is that not the case?
I thought it was Graham that challenged
Was it Graham?
I don't know, but I heard somebody wanted to smoke.
somebody wanted to smoke. ET is going to be in the hallway.
I challenged Philip Dorsett, too. You weren't there for that, huh, Mike?
I did not see that.
It was at training camp. I say, Phil, me and you, you're going to have to see me in the foot race. He looked at me smart. He said, okay. I said, yeah, okay.
He doesn't know. Philip Dorsett doesn't know what's up.
He don't know.
You know, you once finished second to Lavernius Coles in a sprint.
That's right.
Of course, it was a two-man race.
Man, and that's still to be determined because it was close.
Oh, really? Was it close? Was it a 20-yard photo finish?
Oh, goodness.
Repost it again. It was real close.
Fair warning to all the staff and management at 1010XL, do not be in the hallway 10 minutes from now unless you want some of that smoke. All right? It's coming your way. All right. It is first day of full pads, and that should be fun. You know, I'm a little bit nervous. I'm always nervous in training camp. You know, I just want guys to come through the day.
Sure.
You know, as you get reports, we saw Keith Kirkwood, former Saints receiver, now with the Panthers, left in an ambulance at practice today, got hit in the head. He was moving his arms and legs. But, man, look, it's football. It's rough. I get it. There's risk. I'm not naive to that, but, just want for this team, Tony, to have the best chance to make the big improvement that a lot of folks hope for, if not anticipate them making. They got to keep their key guys healthy. Mike Clay at ESPN, more of a fantasy writer over there, but he does do some regular NFL pieces, picked the Jaguars as the most improved team in the league based on their additions and what they lost this offseason. And
yeah.
Look, when you're a one-win team, it's, I think, easy to be the most improved team in the league, right? Either when you talk about how many wins you're going to add to your total, or, heck, they could quadruple their win total. Yeah, and they'll still win less than 25% of their games if they do that.
Well, you're a one-win team who happened to be a one-win team in the year where Trevor Lawrence was available in the draft.
Yes, remind me, please.
I mean, on top of that. So, yeah, you're getting much, much, much better. It's not one of these years where it's like, well, I guess we'll take
Beathard.
Schwartz, you know, like,
sorry, CJ,
you know, like that kind of thing. Eric Fisher at the top of the draft,
right,
who's been a good pro, but you don't want to be the team picking first when you need a quarterback in a year where that may be the best player available to you going into a draft. So, yeah, it's a bit different. I wasn't surprised when they came in at number one on that kind of list, given where they're coming from and what the opportunity was for them.
Didn't have much to lose, by the way, right? I mean, you know, Keelan Cole was a nice player for the Jacksonville Jaguars. No question about it. I'm not trying to underestimate Keelan Cole, but you look now going to the Jets, and what does he probably figure to be at best their fourth receiver there, right, with Corey Davis and Jameson Crowder and the rookie Elijah Moore all likely getting more run. And, you know, that's just the way it is. He's a nice player, but that's the Jags didn't have many good players to lose. So they added some talent, and we hope it all gels together. We're always optimistic, and I think we tend to look at the best-case scenarios oftentimes.
No doubt.
Doesn't always play – generally doesn't play out in the best-case scenario. But something approaching – I'd take it on the upper half would be good right now. I saw a photo of C.J. Henderson out of practice.
Yeah.
C.J., I don't know, man. Maybe he just has bad luck. He just never seems to have that ear-to-ear grin going. The photo just looked like he was angry at the world. I mean, look, it's a snapshot. It's 1 second in time. So there's plenty of times you could take a picture of me, and I got that resting you-know-what face. And, you know, as they say, fill in the blank with whatever you like there. And you'd think I'm constantly angry. And I'm only 97% of the time angry.
Well, it's good to see CJ's at least walking out to the practice field. That's nice. He was placed on the COVID reserve list, I think, July 23rd.
Correct.
So it's been a while for him on that list. And look, I think the corner opposite Shaq Griffin is a big question. You know, who are the top three corners on this team and how much are they going to get out of those guys is a question that we've discussed plenty over the course of the offseason. And here we are a week into camp. And one of those guys that we expected to be a big part of the answer, I'm not sure how good of an answer it was going to be, but a big part of the answer for this team, they drafted him at number 9 just a year ago, hasn't even been on the field for the football team yet. Now, it's still early August, and we haven't even gotten to the scrimmage, but still, you want him on the field here pretty darn soon. That he's already missed a week, especially now that they're getting into pads today. Is a bit of a bummer for a guy that we all know has to have a big second year.
I'm curious, though, about the whole COVID situation with him, right? Like, if he's out at practice, has he been activated from the reserve COVID list? Because the Jags activated Chris Claybrooks and Jared Wilson from that list and sent out, you know, they usually have a press release that emails out in the morning whenever they have any kind of transaction like that. And with those guys being activated, they sent that out today at about 10 till 8 this morning. So you'd think if there's some, I guess we'll have to wait and see till after practice, or maybe we can get the inside scoop from John Osier and Mike DiRocco, as we've got two or more of our favorite heavy hitters lined up to join us live from training camp as we're in that mode right now. Next time and the last time we'll be out there broadcasting is this upcoming Friday. So save some of the good hitting for us when we get out there. So the Jags in pads today and tomorrow have an off day, and we'll be out there Friday. We will check in with those guys. We'll also hear from the folks who spoke after practice to the assembled media yesterday, Roy Robertson-Harris, Travis Etienne, and a little bit from Charlie Strong as well, the assistant head coach to Urban Meyer on this Jacksonville Jaguar coaching staff. Kind of don't talk about Charlie a whole lot, you know, in his place in the big scheme of things. So we'll hear a few thoughts from him today. Question of the day, because it's lingering out there, right? And this answer certainly may differ for you depending on which team comes a calling, if any team were to come calling, right? Did Jeff say it on the air? He said he'd take basically any draft pick for Gardner Minshew, but he wouldn't trade him to the Colts for a first-round pick. Like, that to me doesn't line up. Like, if you're willing to give him away for anything, like a sixth or seventh rounder, you don't think very much of him. If you don't think very much of him, why wouldn't you want the Colts to have him? You know, if you don't think he's that good, like to me, I think Gardner Minshew clearly is the second best quarterback on this roster. I mean, nobody else is even getting reps in these team sessions out there. It's Trevor Lawrence, Gardner Minshew, Gardner Minshew, Trevor Lawrence. Gardner had another good day yesterday statistically, and we'll talk with the guys just how he has looked. I thought he looked outstanding at the practice on Saturday. Again, I fully expect that Trevor Lawrence will take every significant snap when he's healthy this season for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah.
And I'm not moving off that spot, but I think Gardner is an incredibly valuable piece on an incredibly cheap rookie contract to have the confidence that you know he's not going to shrink if called upon, and he's won games in the National Football League with a garbage roster. Has he always played great? No. But how many backup quarterbacks can you say that about in the National Football League that you can count on them to come in and play great? Very few, if any, honestly.
Well, sure. And if it – I don't know what exactly the number is going to be in my head, you know, when we – as we discuss this through the day. But if any team in the National Football League offered me a first-round pick for Gardner Minshew –
bingo.
He's gone.
Oh, easily. And it wouldn't take that much.
No.
But I'm not giving him away either. You know, I'm not giving him up for the sixth-round pick I invested in him. He's worth more to me than that.
Much more, yeah.
Much more, right? So the question officially, if another team called the Jags and wanted to trade for quarterback Gardner Minshew, what kind of return would it take for you to be comfortable with giving him up? Right? Or I don't want to get into the semantics of this. What would I be comfortable with versus what I'd probably do? What's the offer that would make you say yes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's probably the best way to do it. If you are running the Jags and the call comes. And again, this could be different. I understand, like, there could be a higher price, but I don't think it's a question of I'll give him up for anything to a team not in our division, but it wouldn't give him up for a first-round pick to a team in our division. I'd make the Colts pay a premium. There's no question about it, because I don't want Gardner Minshew coming back to haunt me that directly.
Right.
But it's not like I would not trade him to the Indianapolis Colts. I mean, I would. I'd have to get a significant return out of the Colts to do that, because I'm not going to bail out a division rival if I can help it. All right, so that's the question of the day. It's out there on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at IME2, the T.
Come on, somebody.
Oh, I wasn't sure you were there. I thought you might have been out there stretching in the hall. You don't, you're still young enough, you need to stretch?
What's that?
Yeah, exactly. All right. You'll see one day. Trust me, bro. Oh, this body. Oh, my gosh. Unbelievable, man. All right, we've got Johnny O coming up. We've got Mike DiRocco coming up. We'll hear from a trio of Jacksonville Jaguars, a couple of players, and a coach a little bit later on in the program. When we have time, if you want to get in, 641-1010 on the phone lines, but certainly on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Text away, ladies and gentlemen. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E.T. Johnny O coming up on the other side. We'll get a live training camp report next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Never.
Never.
Nope. It's the start of a new beginning, new season, optimism, and you just grind it every day to be the best you can be. So it doesn't get old. You got to push through every single day.
Now, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The defensive coordinator, Joe Cullen, told us that training camp never gets old, Tony. Never gets old. It is something new every time. He's not running around hitting guys and getting hit by guys, so there's that factor as well.
Sure.
Hopefully Johnny O is not getting hit by anybody as well. John Osier, senior writer for Jaguars.com, is live at Jaguars training camp right now. Good morning, John.
Well, in terms of Joe's comment, maybe sometimes he gets a little old. I don't know.
Don't let Joe Cullen hear you say that, buddy.
Yeah. Maybe in 25 years of covering him, I've seen a few that maybe. So. No, pads are on today, boys. Pads.
Yes, I guess probably the popping has not really begun yet. We're very early in the process. John, we did see several photos on social media this morning of C.J. Henderson out there on the practice field, I guess doing some conditioning, not officially returning from the COVID list yet, as we had a couple of guys make the return, Jared Wilson and Chris Claybrooks this morning. But that's got to mean that C.J. Henderson is extremely close to getting on the practice field.
Yeah, I think my understanding of it was there. I think a couple of days is probably when he can come back. I heard something about 10 days out of the first part of camp. But if that's the case, that'd be pretty close now, right? We started last Wednesday. So maybe later in the week, it sounds like. But that's just my impression. I haven't heard nothing officially, but it's certainly a good sign that he is out here running around, getting in the shape. I think at this point, it's going to take him a couple of days to get in the shape to run with the guys, bare minimum. So, but yeah, he needs to be out here. I mean, it's a huge year for him. And once pads go on, you're getting into where time missed matters.
How important is today for Trevor Lawrence, John, with as a bounce back day from what reportedly was a pretty rough practice for him, at least comparatively speaking, yesterday, and it being the first day in pads?
Yeah, I mean, it would be nice. I don't know if through the scope of his career that if he doesn't have a great day today that he's not going to make it. You know, I mean, I was impressed, actually. He was really rough for about two periods early yesterday, and then late in, I think it was team at the end, he looked fine. It didn't dribble into other drills, and it was hard to tell. Yesterday was not an incredibly live day to me. It didn't feel like it had the energy in any of practice like the last last week did. I got the idea that they were getting ready to gear up for today. But late in practice, he seemed to recover, if that's the right word. You couldn't tell he was shaken. So I don't expect him to be bad today. But if he struggles a little bit, I don't know that it's the end of the world. I'd like not to see it, though. He's number one overall pick.
Yeah, and in the last couple of practices, I was out there on Saturday. Obviously, we were on the air yesterday, but just looked at the numbers. Gardner Minshew was excellent, it appeared, both times. I with my own eyes, I saw that Saturday. And, I'm making it clear every time.
Sure.
I think Trevor Lawrence starts every meaningful game, plays every meaningful snap, as long as he's healthy for this football team. But it's nice to see Gardner playing well, and it's pretty clear that the other quarterbacks, even when they're not on the COVID list, as C.J. Beathard is now, are not getting any looks in team sessions. So he's clearly the number two at this point in time. We're asking folks today, if a team came calling, what would it take for you to be comfortable giving up Gardner Minshew? What do you think the team would feel about it? Like, how valuable is it to have a backup quarterback who's played and won in the National Football League, at least won some games like Gardner Minshew has?
I think it's valuable. I don't know that they're going to get a lot of offers for him. I don't know that his value around the league is maybe as high as it is here in Jacksonville. And I only say that because I think if it was, we would have seen movement on it in March and April, or at least more talk about it. How valuable would I trade him for a seventh? Probably not. Fourth or fifth, then you're getting into the range where you might think maybe. It just doesn't feel, you guys have followed trades for a long time. To start getting into third and fourth round pick, that's big equity when you're talking about trade value. Doesn't sound like it, but it is. So I just don't know they're going to get much more than that. If it's a third or fourth, I think they jump on it because I'm not sure the value is ever going to be higher.
John, has the first week changed your opinion at all on Tim Tebow's chance to make the roster?
It's so hard to say, and I don't want to be mealy-mouthed on it, but, until the pads go on with him, I just don't know if you know. He has looked as good as he could look in non-padded stuff. I think he had one that he didn't catch yesterday. I don't know if it was a drop or not, but it was notable to me because he hadn't had many of those. So he has looked better with his hands. Now the question is, can he be a tight end? Can he be effective blocking? Pete Prisco was out yesterday. He made a good point. Quarterback toughness is different than midline toughness. Is he a blocking tight end? Can he do that? Because then he's going to have to. I don't know that he makes it as a pass catcher. He's got to do more than that. So, I think he's got a chance. I still wouldn't put him very high because I haven't seen him do it in padded contact yet.
John, I was reading your stuff over at Jaguars.com, and one of your observations was that Laviska Shenault is having a really good camp. I've seen Marvin Jones make tons of plays. What have you seen from DJ Chark to this point?
Not as much as the other guys. I'm kind of wondering if maybe that'll happen once the pads go on, meaning Marvin Jones is a guy who I love his feet. He seems to get open. Laviska Shenault looks quicker than he used to. So I think this non-padded, where quickness is really the thing, is going to matter. Now that guys can get up in the receiver's face, DJ Chark's strength seems to be working on that. I kind of have a feeling we're about to see more from DJ Chark. I don't doubt at all he can play. I don't doubt at all that he's going to be good. I just have a feeling you're going to see that more from him once the pads go on. He's going to be more of their interior seams down the middle. I'm not calling him a possession guy. He's not that. But I think his physicality, the new physicality, may benefit him once pads go on.
We talked so much about the roles for these receivers throughout the offseason, John. Have you gotten any clearer an idea of what the roles may be for LaVisca, specifically in this offense going into the season?
I think it's going to be pretty expanded. I mean, it's a little hard for me to describe. I kind of get the feeling that ETN and LaVisca are going to kind of have mirror roles, meaning I think LaVisca is going to show some of what he showed last year, where you can give him the ball a little bit. The slot, I kind of had him pigeonholed a little bit as your slot guy, but he's been so quick and so fast during camp that you just wonder if he's going to be able to be a lot more dynamic than you thought. So I would say right now, slot with some similarities to last year, but he looks more and more like that guy they thought he was when he drafted him, which sort of that, I don't know, Swiss Army knife, can do everything. I think his role is going to be fascinating, guys. As camp goes on, I'm more excited about seeing him in pads than any other player, probably.
John Osier here with us from Jaguars.com. John, defensively for this football team, Rudy Ford apparently had a pretty nice day yesterday with the interception, another pass breakup. Any chance he has a role on defense? More so, like, we've anticipated him being a core special teamer. Could he break through in the base defense?
Well, you would think, because there's you sort of assume Cisco and Jenkins, once people get healthy and things really get going, that kind of feels like the starters. Then you've got Jared Wilson, who, you know, he's not above the X's and O's, but Jared Wilson is a guy who you can rely on. That sort of leaves room for a fourth guy. Daniel Thomas is in there. Thor, Andrew Wingard, has played there before. But I think Cody Ford, I don't know if starting role, but I think, is he a guy that you feel better about if somebody gets hurt in front of him than you did when they signed him? He's looked a lot better as a DB than I thought he would.
And he's supposed to really help in special teams too. So you would think the path to the roster becoming pretty clear for him, at least potentially. John, Kalavon Chaisson, and we're not out there. You were out there yesterday. Apparently had a rough end of practice when they went into some one-on-one drills. Just what have you seen from him through the first week of camp heading into pads today?
About all I saw was what was reported on. I haven't watched the Josh Allen, the linemen, linebackers that much because they hadn't been in pads yet. But I certainly saw yesterday, I think it was Cam Robinson and somebody else that got him a little bit. It didn't look great. I guess I would lean toward liking what he did with pads on in games late last year, sort of trumping what he did one drill without pads. But pads go on today. I assume there'll be one-on-one pass rush. He's got to look better than he did yesterday.
All right, John.
Hopefully it's just one day.
Oh, sorry about that. Let's wrap up with this. We talked about Rudy Ford, but just other than Ford, give us one player, or if you want a couple, on defense that not just necessarily yesterday, but over the course. I know it's been tough to shine with the way it's been set up, but give us one or two players that have stood out in a positive way to you.
Griffin stood out, which you'd expect him to. Wish C.J. Henderson was here to stand out. We talked about him early, obviously. He's on my thought. But, beyond that, Josh Allen, I can't even say he stood out because there's been so little to do. But he looked ready. He looked primed to go. He's a guy I'm going to be watching that I want to see. Today, when the pads go on, you want to see Josh Allen look like a big-time pass rusher in drills. That's a thing that I'll be watching for. Can't say I've seen it yet, but I think you got to see it at some point this offseason.
I certainly hope so. Saw him have a nice pass breakup the other day, but again, you see that, it's like, that's all it takes sometimes. Like, for all I know, Rudy Ford looked terrible on every rep he got except for those two, but you know what I mean? It's just funny like that, the big
Josh,
plays catch your eye.
To your point, Josh is that guy. It's not a fluke when he gets a pass breakup. To me, he's as key as any guy on this team outside Trevor, because remember, number 7 overall pick, this guy is supposed to be all pro level guy, carry on defense. A lot of teams that have number one overall quarterbacks don't have that guy defensively. He needs to be that guy.
No doubt. All right, John Osier, you can check him out at Jaguars.com, at his name, at John Osier on Twitter, and we'll be out there. We'll see on Friday, maybe catch up with you tail end of the week and see how you think the first week of padded practice gone, John. Thanks for the time this morning.
Fantastic, guys. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Get back. Ouch. Ouch. That's Johnny taking a picture right in the corner.
Yep.
Acting like it's an accident. All right, Mike DiRocco of ESPN coming up next. The Caleb on Chaseon thing is interesting, Tony, because, again, it is one-on-ones against much bigger guys, non-padded. But nevertheless, look, who do you think he's going to be taking on when he rushes from the edge?
Yeah, probably the tackle.
Tackles, yeah. Right? I mean, bigger guys. His cup of tea is supposed to be the pass rush. He's going to be taking on a bigger guy every time he rushes the passer.
Yep.
Basically, unless they scheme it up for him to come free, but you can't count on that. Let's see what Mike DiRocco thinks, his observations of training camp to this point and padded practice beginning for the Jaguars this morning. We'll talk to D-Rock coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E.T. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the real deal. I mean, I know it's so early, but just the way it comes out of his hands, the way he throws, his accuracy. Now, that could all disappear if he can't handle the pass rush. But let's just assume that's not going to bother him. Let's assume he can handle that. I think this dude's going to be good.
Everything you need to know about the Jags. Jaguars today on 1010XL.
As Tony Boselli from Breakfast with Boselli yesterday morning on the drill here on 1010XL. Catch him every Monday with the fellas. Dan and Jeff there thinks that Trevor Lawrence is going to be good, Tony.
Hey.
That limb got enough room for me, Tone, as well. I'm going to crawl out there with you and say I think he will be good as well. Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith here with you as we said goodbye to John Osier a few minutes ago. We say hello to our friend Mike DiRocco of ESPN out of Jaguar practice this morning. Good morning, D-Rock.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're doing very well.
Trevor Lawrence, good or bad?
Yes,
D-Rock.
Good. Will he be good? D-Rock.
Tough call. yes, I'm going to – I think after a lot of consideration, I'm going to support Tony's take on that.
You're going with good. Okay.
I'm going to go with good.
Now we feel better about the pick. although we need to feel a little bit better. We were not there. You were. Give us your description of how Trevor practiced yesterday.
Yeah, it was a tough start, but he rebounded pretty well after that and looked pretty good. That first start was a little rough. I mean, everyone says he threw three picks, but, you know, the way I look at it, if it's an offside on the defense, then that play doesn't count. Mm-hmm. And he knew they were offside. He was just throwing the ball deep, you know, to try and make a play so you can get a big play off that, which is what you're supposed to do, which, to be honest with you, is more important than anything else on that play, that he knew enough to do that. Unfortunately, DJ Chark either didn't know that they had jumped offside or whatever, because I think the throw was intended for him and it wasn't close. So I think it was DJ. I shouldn't say that. Whatever the receiver was, just broke off the route instead of going deep to try and take advantage of it. So, and then one of the other two interceptions was just a bad miscommunication. The ball was thrown deep down the left sideline and there was nobody there except the corner ran back and got it. So. Or the safety ran back and got it. So that was a miscommunication there. Other than that, I mean, he rebounded really, really well, played well in 7-on-7, and then had another 11-on-11 period. Things looked okay. So, you know, just a bad little spurt, and maybe it just took him a minute to adjust to the press coverage and you know, guys getting in his receiver space.
Yeah, did the intensity of practice feel different yesterday, D-Rock, with defenders finally being able to play the ball in the air?
Yeah, it did a little bit, certainly for the defense, and the receivers for sure. I mean, I think they've been looking forward to that. I mean, you know, you heard Shaq Griffin last week talking about we can't do it for 4 days. So, all right, we got 1 day down, 3 to go. We got 2 days down, 2 to go. So they were really looking forward to being able to do that. And the intensity right now I think is going to be even better today because, you know, full pads and we're going to see some one-on-ones and some tackling. And it's going to be, you know, finally a really good look at this team in terms of, you know, physicality and strength and you know, especially along the offensive and defensive line, those one-on-ones.
Oh, yeah, that's what you like to focus in on. And, you know, Leon Searcy yesterday was saying how annoyed he was with this talk with defensive players going, we're waiting for pads to come on. He goes, put them on, all right? Like, you don't think the offensive linemen want to hit you too? Come on. So I was enjoying that from Searcy yesterday. Not enjoying the reports about Kalavon Chaisson getting tossed around yesterday a little bit in one-on-one blocking drills. Granted, he's given up a lot of size to an offensive tackle, but – D-Rock, correct me if I'm wrong, he's going to go up against a bigger man every time he rushes the passer this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're supposed to. I mean, that's the position you're playing, so you're supposed to be able to get in there and rush and wreak some havoc there. And, you know, Walker Little picked him up and threw him pretty good to the ground, and it was like, oh my. Wasn't expecting to see that. I didn't see the first one. I think the first time he went up against Cam Robinson, but I'm not 100% sure on that, but I did see the second one, and Walker Little buried him. And, you know, that's kind of sent the rest of the offensive linemen into a little bit of a frenzy there. But, you know, Chaisson, you know, that they need him to be, I don't want to say like elite, but they need him to be pretty darn good to complement Josh Allen. And we're going to see some more one-on-ones today in a little bit, and he's going to be definitely the guy that I keep my eye on. But, I mean, if you're looking for a positive out of that, Walker Little looked really good in that rep and a couple others. So you can take a positive along with a negative.
Yeah, we're back on Walker Little watch with the pads coming on.
Yeah.
And officially the offensive linemen are joining training camp. You know, in everybody's eyes, it's just
welcome to the party.
That's right. Not a whole lot to see until the pads go on. So what are you looking for out of that offensive line group and Walker Little today?
Well, it's the tackle. Like, I mean, we have to see those guys play better. I mean, Urban Meyer called them out in the spring, said the tackles have to play better, so it's not any kind of thing that should surprise him or them or anyone, but it's got, you know, they can't be getting blown by. Like Cam Robinson right now can't be getting blown by, you know, Laurente McCray, which I think happened in an 11-on-11 earlier, late last week. I mean, that just can't happen. I mean, you've got to be better than you've been the last 4 years if you're Cam Robinson. So those, him and Juwan Taylor, those two guys, we talked about them before, 27 sacks given up between the two of them. I mean, they can't do that. They've got to be better. So this will be fun because, you know, Josh Allen is really competent to bid a little bit to get going because, you know, he had a disappointing season last year, and you can kind of tell that he's really ready to finally get in, you know, some full pads and really try and make up for last season.
ESPN's Mike DiRocco here with us on Jaguars Today. Very soon we'll have the full-time Thursday return of Mike DiRocco as one of our co-hosts here on Jaguars Today as well. Looking forward to that. D-Rock, I thought Laquon Treadwell had a very nice practice on Saturday. You know, and sometimes all it takes is a couple of big plays, but he caught a touchdown from Gardner Minshew working with the second team, and he also had a nice catch down the middle, kind of a juggling catch where he bailed out Minshew on what had been a long completion. Give me a player, like, to me, he's an off-the-radar kind of guy. Like, when they sign him, I'm like, ho-hum, been there, done that, hasn't ever shown anything in the National Football League. So give me a guy that you didn't expect a whole lot out of that has surprised you a little bit so far.
Farrell Cooper is one of those receivers that has really seemed to kind of emerge a little bit, too. He's had a lot of catches in 7-on-7, 11-on-11, so he's a guy that has kind of caught my eye a little bit. I wanted to see more out of Colin Johnson, and I haven't seen that. So that was a little bit disappointing. But defensively, you know, the guy that really looks good, and maybe he's not, I mean, he's a name that we recognize, but Sidney Jones has looked really good to me. You know, and he's a guy that we kind of forgot about with Tyson Campbell and Shaq Griffin and everyone wondering about C.J. Henderson and all that stuff. So he's got two picks in camp. Sidney Jones does, so that's encouraging. You know, he's a guy, probably their best corner last year when he was healthy, and if he can stay healthy now, he's really gonna, you know, he's gonna make that decision over there hard, as to, you know, especially for Henderson, if he's not able to really kind of get back and get into shape and get ready in time, you know, maybe Sidney Jones will be the starter on the other side.
D-Rock, is it a big deal that C.J. Henderson hasn't been available yet to the team in training camp?
Well, anytime you miss that much time, it absolutely is. Now, he was out here at the weight tent, which is right off to the side of the field, so that's an indication that he's moving back towards the field, getting on the field. But I do think that there's still going to be enough time. Like, if he's out there, you know, I guess what they go tomorrow and they take Thursday off. If he's able to be out there on Friday, then that should be plenty of time for him to get back out into shape and get ready to go before the preseason game. We'll see. I mean, I don't think you need to start worrying about it now. I think if he were to miss maybe another week, another 10 days, then I think it would be concerning.
D-Rock, we were told there was going to be a camp battle at kicker, and then Aldrick Rosas had a non-football injury, and the team released him out there on Saturday, at least. Josh Lambeau had a few more misses than I'm accustomed to seeing him have. Look, again, he's been fantastic since he's been here, but we understand that, you know, sometimes kickers have ups and downs. Any indication that there's any concern about Lambeau, or is that just necessarily not his best day?
I think there's a little bit of both. I mean, there was obviously concern about his injury because they brought Rosas back. And Urban Meyer said that they kind of hinted that, you know, they will like to bring Rosas back and may bring him back. They had some injuries at wide receiver, as we know, so they felt like they were down a bunch of guys. And they wanted to bring in some other guys there, and I guess their decision was to cut Rosas, at least for now. So I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back on the roster at some point, especially if Lambeau struggles.
Is James O'Shaughnessy back on the field, and how do you feel about what you've seen from the tight ends through a week of camp?
He was out here with a helmet and pads, and then he was working off to the side, and I don't see him right now, but they're on the other side over here, so I'm not 100% sure. But I didn't see him in the warm-up line. I didn't see him in any of the drills. So, you know, it's going to take another day or so, I guess. I mean, it makes sense. You don't want to rush him back. But, I mean, overall, I mean, the tight ends have sort of been a little, you know, Ellison's made a lot of catches and Tebow's made a lot of catches. Haven't seen as much from Tyler Davis. Today's the day, obviously, that we'll get a better idea, because I expect Manhurst to start mauling some guys today. And then we'll see about Tebow and Davis and Ellison in terms of what they can do blocking. And that's really more important at this point, because these guys should be able to make catches. If you're an NFL tight end, you should be able to run around and make some catches here and there and not look lost. And, you know, but after today, we'll probably have a better idea. But if O'Shaughnessy is healthy, then I do expect him to be the guy that ends up leading them in catches, but it's not like he's going to catch like 45 or something right. Like that. I'd expect it to be, you know, maybe in the 20s or 30s, but, you know, maybe one of those guys will surprise us. Luke Farrell has really sort of, I mean, he's flashed here and there, and he's a big dude, and I think that he's going to be a guy in the next year or two that will probably emerge as one of their top two tight ends, you know, along with Manhurst, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
All right, D-Rock, we'll end with this one, our question of the day today, because there's a lot of speculation, particularly with the Carson Wentz injury, that Gardner Minshew, some team may call the Jags and inquire about his availability. So if they did that, what do you think would be a fair return to get for Minshew?
What do I think would be a fair return?
Yes.
What do I think would teams be willing to give up?
No, what would you be willing to take? Like, teams may be willing to give up very little, and you might say, no, we'll keep him. He's worth more than that. So what would it take for you to consider moving him?
I mean, if some team called me and offered me a fifth, I'd do it.
Really?
But that's just me, yeah. Look, regardless of whichever guy is the backup quarterback, if Trevor's down, this team's in trouble anyway. You know, no one's going to call and offer a third or a fourth round pick for Gardner Minshew. You know, we see his numbers, and his numbers look good, but if you watched him last year, after that first couple of games, he really struggled. I mean, and you know, the word around the league is that he was unwilling to stay in the pocket, which we could kind of see. He's at his best when he's sort of creating. Well, can't really game plan about, hey, go out there and create and make a play. His arm strength isn't tremendous. He is a very smart guy, so I think he's a guy that if you have to win one or two games or go out and play without your starter for one or two games, I think, yeah, he's a really, really good backup. But if you're thinking I got him and I can play him while Carson Wentz is out, I don't know that that's going to work. So I just feel like if I could get a fifth, if I'm the Jags and I could get a fifth, I probably would do it, as long as I feel good about Beathard, because he hasn't looked great. He hasn't looked terrible, but hasn't looked great. And Minshew has sort of outshined him at times. So they may not be willing to make the move.
Well, I certainly wouldn't. I don't think there's any anything close to a competition between those guys for the backup spot right now. I mean, Minshew had 20 reps in team on Saturday. I think Beathard had two, and now he's on the COVID list. So,
The problem is they guaranteed him almost $3 million.
I understand sometimes
that's the issue. Yeah.
You can't throw good money after bad, though. You know, you can't say, well, now we're going to prove to you that that was the right move, because clearly he's not playing himself into position at the moment to be the backup quarterback. And I just think, I mean, the Jags, and granted, it was Dave Caldwell, different regime, but they gave up a fifth to get Josh Dobbs, who's never played a snap in the NFL, to come in and be an emergency backup guy. At least Minshew, you feel like, it's not going to wilt. He's going to go in there, and with a team, and using the Colts as an example, good offensive line, right, potentially good running game. You're not going to ask him to put the team on your shoulders. I would not move him for a fifth. But, hey, that's why we asked you, Michael.
But the thing of it is, though, is, like, did the Jags panic and offer too much for Josh Dobbs?
Maybe. It's possible.
And the Steelers didn't want to give him up, but then someone called and said, you'll give us a fifth for him? Absolutely. We'll take it.
Yeah.
And it might be the same way here. I don't know. But, I mean, I would do it. If I don't plan on him playing at all, then, you know, I would do it if I were the Jags.
All right. Well, you know what? We don't even know, because as of right now, it doesn't seem like anything is imminent on that front. But plenty more training camp to go. So we'll see what happens with quarterback injuries around the National Football League. Mike DeRocco of ESPN, you can find him on Twitter at ESPN DeRocco. And right now, if you're out of camp, that's where you'll find him as well, although it's not open to the public, so you're probably not there. DeRocco, we appreciate it as always, man. We'll talk soon, all right?
See you guys. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes, Mike DeRocco, following Johnny O with a couple of different camp perspectives out there. I mean, for me, I don't know. Maybe I just don't value these later picks as much as the NFL does.
Yeah, but, I know.
I mean, what are you hoping to hit on with a fifth-round pick? Maybe you find a guy who could be your backup quarterback for the next few years? Wait.
Hey.
You know, we've got that already, and we don't have to guess. Like, I mean, and I get it. If Trevor Lawrence goes down, you're in trouble, but I don't want to be of the mindset that, hey, let's say this team gets off to a decent start, right? Let's say they're 2-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And or maybe even 3-1, the way the schedule is set up. But let's say 2-2. They're 2-2. Trevor gets a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out for 2 weeks. I want to feel like, you know, I feel like Gardner, I'm going to feel like could come in there and with the right game plan and right support around him, can keep his team competitive in the short term. I'm not saying that if Trevor Lawrence has a season-ending situation that Gardner Minshew is going to carry you deep into the postseason, but
no.
I'm much more comfortable with the idea of Gardner Minshew having to play due to a short-term injury than I am with anybody else on this roster right now.
Sure, and that's the balancing act you're playing, saying what would you be willing to take for Gardner Minshew? Because, look, I think, as you said, a fifth, sixth-round pick, you're hoping if you're drafting a quarterback that he can be your backup at some point, most likely, would be what you're probably looking at that point, as opposed to trading for a guy like Gardner Minshew who has shown that, yeah, you hand him the ball, he can play. You know, on a week-to-week basis, if that's the direction you want to go with him. Whether or not he's a long-term starter in the league, that's for somebody else to determine. But is he capable of playing from the moment that you acquire him? Absolutely.
Right. This
he
minute.
Is.
Right.
Right. So I think that's more valuable than a fifth-round pick.
I agree. This from Doom, passing this along from Duval Doom. he retweeted one. Quentin Nelson, the Colts all-pro guard, who many consider the best offensive lineman in the National Football League, has arrived at practice this morning wearing a boot on his right foot.
And it's piling up for them early.
Not sure the report goes what the injury is. This is from an Indy Star writer. Okay, so not sure what the injury is, but we'll have a chance to ask Frank Reich after practice today. I bet you will. And there you go. So we'll see what happens. You're right. It you know, could be nothing. Could be like a little tiny short-term thing, but
sure. There's a bunch of them up there.
Got to get better orthopedics up there or something, man.
Something's
the shoes
up.
Are not working out for the Colts right now. All right, we'll come back. We've got This Date in Football, the gems from around the National Football League. We'll hear from Travis Etienne, Roy Robertson-Harris, and Charlie Strong, all coming up in hour number two with Tony Smith and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, I got some odds and ends for August 3rd in football history. It was on this date in 1970, Tony, that a four-day NFL strike came to an end, a little off-season, preseason strike going on, but they got it all figured out. In 1987, The Chicago Bears beat the Dallas Cowboys 17-6 in an exhibition game. Why was that noteworthy? Well, it was part of the NFL Expo played in London, England. Some heavy hitter birthdays on this date. Born on this date in 1940. Happy 81st to Lance Allworth. Still going strong at 81. At least he's still going. He was the 8th overall pick by San Francisco in the NFL draft, the 9th overall pick by the Oakland Raiders in the AFL draft in 1962, I believe it was. And the Raiders traded his rights to the San Diego Chargers, where he would sign and star for a number of years, made 7 Pro Bowls, 6-time first-team All-Pro, led the AFL in receiving 3 times. He was the player of the year in the AFL in 1963, a Hall of Fame inductee in 1978, and a member of the NFL's 100th anniversary team as well. Not as noteworthy a member as the next guy. Born in the state in 1977, happy 44th to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, a 6th-round pick in the year 2000 by the New England Patriots, has gone on to make 14 Pro Bowls, 3-time first-team All-Pro, 3-time league MVP, 7-time Super Bowl champ, currently 2nd in passing yards. He will, early in the season, go over 80,000 passing yards for his career. 1st in passing touchdowns. He was the Pro Football Hall of Fame's quarterback on the All-2000s team. The All-2010s team, he was on there as well. Member of the NFL 100th anniversary squad, and obviously a first ballot Hall of Famer when he is finally eligible. Other birthdays of note include former Jaguar Tony Pachos is 41 years old today. He started 31 games at right tackle for the Jags in 2007 and 2008. Former 3rd overall pick Dante Fowler Jr., born in the state 27 years ago. He was that pick in 2015. He missed his rookie season due to a torn ACL in his first practice and went on to have 14 sacks in 39 games for the Jaguars in 2016, 17, and part of the 2018 season. And finally, same exact day, happy 27th also to Todd Gurley, the 10th overall pick by the Rams in that 2015 draft.
He's still just 27.
27, just turned 27 years old, right? 3 times he's gone over 1,000 yards rushing. 4 times he's run for 10 or more touchdowns. He was the 2017 Offensive Player of the Year when he had over 2,000 combined rushing and receiving yards and 19 touchdowns, and looks all but spent right now. And even with the Rams, it was not a happy exit, by the way. Remember, he had to go after the Rams for some unpaid bonus money, yep, something like that. So the thought was, hey, he knows McVay's offense. When Cam Akers got hurt, will they make a call to Todd Gurley? Well, apparently at least not yet. And Todd Gurley remains unemployed at the moment. But hopefully he's saved his money, and at the age of 27, he'll have a good birthday. That's what we have for you on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The Carolina Panthers ended practice early today after wide receiver Keith Kirkwood took a hit to the head from undrafted rookie JT Ebay. Kirkwood had to be taken to a local hospital. He reportedly had movement in his extremities and no pain in his neck. The team has already waived Ebay from the roster. Buffalo Bills general manager Brandon Bean said on Monday that if the team can't work out a long-term deal with quarterback Josh Allen before the start of the regular season, that they would table discussions about an extension until after the year, saying, quote, "Josh and I are in lockstep on that. There will be no negotiating in season. At some point, we will press the pause button," end quote. Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Devontae Smith will miss the next 2 to 3 weeks with a sprained MCL. Baltimore wide receiver Marquise Brown has only been able to practice one day due to a hamstring injury. Head coach John Harbaugh was asked about the injury after training camp practice yesterday and said, quote, "It turned out to be worse than what they told me it was going to be. He's out until he's back," end quote. Rookie first-round pick Rashad Bateman for the Ravens also missed practice Monday after leaving early on Saturday with muscle tightness. Harbaugh said that he hopes it isn't anything serious, but they'll see how that one works out. And Arizona is signing free agent defensive tackle Corey Simon to a 1-year deal.
All right, he's out until he's back is an accurate statement. Mm-hmm. And this is one of the more interesting ones that we've seen in the last 24 hours. Sean McVay had a couple of doozies. I'll see if I can grab them real quick in response to Matthew Stafford hitting his thumb on a teammate's helmet in training camp. And it, ironic, because there was that story yesterday about those soft foam shells that some guys are wearing. They look kind of crazy, right? They look like a big foam pyramid on top of your head. But one of the benefits that they talked about was that your quarterback, if he does hit his thumb on like the center's head or any other lineman's head, it's not going to hurt it.
Sure.
And, you know, just for practice purposes, why wouldn't you go with that?
Limit the risk, yeah.
Here's what a couple of things McVay said about the situation. I don't know anything yet. I think he'll be okay. How do you, like, okay? You don't know anything. So what leads you to think he'll
be
okay?
Here's my guess based on nothing.
Right, based on no factual information. And then secondly, he followed it up. It was a freak thing, but it is something that consistently occurs. I don't know if you understand what a freak thing is if you think it's something that consistently occurs. A freak thing is like something way out of the blue.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it is a freak thing, like at any given moment. Did you hit your thumb on a guy's helmet? It's just, you know, kind of luck of the draw. A little bit based on where bodies are in space, but it probably does happen a good bit. It's just, I found that funny, those comments back to back from Sean McVay.
So. John Shipley tweeting out a moment ago, Travis Etienne uncoverable in one-on-ones versus linebackers running routes. Dare Ogunbowale the best in pass pro, in his opinion. So we'll see how that continues to develop over camp, but not surprising that Travis Etienne would be a handful for a linebacker in space.
Yeah, pass protection, by the way, is the number one thing that gets a running back some bench time if they can't handle it as a rookie.
Yeah.
You know, you got to, if you get your quarterback hit, you're going to be in big trouble. Now, the way they're planning on using Etienne, it sounds like, I don't know how much they're going to bring him in to keep him in to the formation to pick up the guy off the edge. I think, you know, he's going to be used as a weapon. But when you're out there, you better, when called upon, be able to get that chip in.
No doubt.
And defend that guy. I'm going to hope that that report is more that Travis Etienne is really good. He's lightning quick, as opposed to, man, these linebackers can't cover, right? So it's always that question when a guy dominates his teammates in practice. Is he dominating because those guys are not great? But I'm going to go more with the guy who was the first-round pick. We've seen him excel. He's got quickness and breakaway ability, so that's a good sign. For the Jaguars, mm-hmm. Even in Mike Clay's piece at ESPN today, where he said he felt like the Jaguars were the most improved team in the National Football League, there's kind of a little bit of a backhanded swipe at the Etienne selection. See if I can grab this real quick. He said Etienne was a suspect first-round pick considering the state of the roster, but he, along with Jones, meaning Marvin Jones, is an explosive offensive playmaker, but still suspect that they would bring in an explosive offensive playmaker. Right? Like, people just, like, James Robinson was fine. Leave it alone. Like, I mean, they could have gone that route, certainly, but they, you know, they're going with more of a thunder and lightning combo.
Teams never need more than one running back over the course of a season.
Never happens. Ever. Where that's the case. And, why would the Browns want Kareem Hunt? The team. They have Nick Chubb.
They already had him.
They have Nick Chubb.
What a waste of resources.
Why would you do that? Why would then sign him to a big contract as well? He's not even your starter. Are you kidding me? So, you know, take it with a grain of salt. There's always this looks good, but, you know, I wouldn't have done it that way. It's always something with the ETN selection. So, Travis, go out there and fulfill Hayes Carlion's predictions, and you'll shut everybody up.
Yeah,
my goodness,
will.
Including me. By the way, I'm not knocking him. I just 1,500 is a little extreme with James Robinson on the roster.
Yeah.
And with all the what we believe will be weapons in the passing game to spread the ball around too as well. All right, so we will come back. Let's hear from Mr. Etienne himself, and we'll hear a little bit from Roy Robertson Harris that he was really anticipating putting the pads on today, like he was going to whoop somebody's tail. And Charlie Strong, Jaguars assistant head coach, linebackers coach, going to hear from him as well as the trio spoke yesterday after training camp for the Jags. We'll have the latest coming in on social media reports from the field as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and ET Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The week has been great. Really just adjusting to the heat. I feel like you never really get used to the heat. It just really becomes a mindset. And as long as I come out here with the right mentors, I feel like they can't go wrong.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Was there any mention of his chickens, E.T.?
Nah, he just said it's hot in here. No chicken.
He's
no got to
have the right mentals, he said. Did he say mentals?
Just the body, I think.
Play that again, please. It's only 10 seconds. Let's hear it again, if we could.
The week has been great. Really just adjusting to the heat. I feel like you never really get used to the heat. It just really becomes a mindset. And as long as I come out here with the right mentals, I feel like they can't go wrong.
How did you miss that? How did you miss that? I come out here with the right mentals.
He said my mentals.
Where's my chicken to go with that? Told you. I mean, that was like a scream in my ear, like, mentals. I heard it right there. All right. Good for you, Travis Etienne. That is Travis Etienne speaking Saturday. Tony, you mentioned that John Shipley of a Jaguar Report for SI mentioned that Etienne was uncoverable in one-on-ones versus linebackers running routes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Prior to that, he had tweeted, James Robinson put a killer stutter step on a linebacker. They aren't tackling, but the defenders would have missed him even in flag football. So there you go.
Yeah.
I've got no dog in a hunt, man. James Robinson, Travis Etienne, hope you're both 1,500-yard guys.
Yeah, let's
Wouldn't
go.
That be amazing. And unrealistic, but nevertheless, it would still be amazing. Kind of cooler weather out there today, which is nice for the fellas, as they put the pads on.
Yeah.
So no reason to not go all out when you're out there. All right, let's get to some of this audio from Etienne, Roy Robertson-Harris, and Charlie Strong speaking yesterday. I might have misspoke and said that was Travis Etienne from Saturday. That was from yesterday. And he talked about, among other things, how he feels he's growing in this offense.
Each and every day, I feel like I'm getting better. So I feel like each and every day I come out here and work on it, the next day I'm much better than I was the day before. So just really his confidence. I feel like his confidence just being out there, just making that leap. Now I'm out here with a bunch of NFL guys. So I feel like it's just getting my confidence together and I'll be able to go out there and make plays.
Confident guy, making guys miss in one-on-ones, as we've heard already this morning.
Seriously, why wouldn't Travis Etienne be confident, right?
I don't know.
I mean, you've been a star in college. Yeah. You performed at an extremely high level against the best competition, and you're a first-round draft pick, and
All-time leading rusher in the ACC.
That helps.
You know, I'd say the confidence should be pretty, pretty good for that young man. He also said he's looking forward to today when they get the opportunity to put the pads on.
Just getting back to what we do, and I feel that running back, you see we out there, they just touch us, we're down. And now, obviously in the games, it goes very differently. So tomorrow we get a chance to go out there and see who can really break tackles and do things of that sort and see who's really out there making plays.
Yeah, see if they can lay a finger on me. by the way, how much more fun is this than Trayvon Merrig? Right? For once, I don't have to stop and in my head and go, all right. Trayvon Merrig, right? But, I mean, I'm sure he might be a nice player and all that, and, but the Jags have plenty of options at safety right now, and I don't know if he would have changed the fortunes of this team as much as Travis Etienne potentially could with the ball in his hand. So, much more fun, if nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor struggled a little bit yesterday from all accounts, particularly early in the practice, and Etienne weighed in on that.
As a football player, you're not going to always have your best day. And that's why we come out here and work each and every day. And I feel like it's better to have those days now than have them later in the season. And I know how Trev is. I know his mindset. And he'll come out here and be much better than he was today. And that's all football player I've asked for is just get better each and every day.
And we'll see how Trevor responds his first day in pads today. To seem like he responded well in the second half of practice yesterday.
I haven't heard anything this morning.
No, yet, nothing really. Yet. I'm sure they're going to get into some team stuff here in the next 20 minutes, I would guess. But Travis Etienne was also just asked about something that certainly outside the building it's been talked about plenty, just the competition in the backfield between he and James Robinson.
We definitely look at it a different way than the media. And now we're all brothers in the running back room, six of us, and we're just all trying to help each other get better. Carlos, Daray, James, Nate, and Zig, we're just all in there trying to help each other get better. And I mean, definitely, if we can go out there and just create that rotation, we're definitely going to have a longer career. So we're definitely mindful of that, and we definitely want to help each other be the best that we can be.
Zig, I never really thought of it. What would you call a guy named Divine Ozigbo? Hey, Divine.
What's up, D?
Zig. D.
D-Zig.
Yeah. D-Ziggy.
Yeah.
Something like that. All right. So moving on here. What so far has Travis Etienne found to be the biggest difference in NFL camp versus college?
I guess the biggest difference is not knowing. I guess coming from Clemson, being there for years, we kind of knew what to expect. So coming out here, just not knowing and just having these long days, from like 6:30 to 8, really long days. So just having that, but it's really helpful because we don't have schoolwork and things of that sort. So we're able to take care of our bodies, get ahead of our rejuvenation process, and really speed that process up. So, I mean, less school, more football. I feel like it's, me and Trev really love that, and so we're able to come out here and just, be the best.
Oh, by the way, speaking of coming from Clemson, Dabo at yeah. practice today. D-Swin? What? Dabby Dab? I don't know. Not sure.
Big Bo?
Big Bo. Could be Big Bo,
could
right?
be. We already got a Big Bo. Travis Etienne was also asked about just being asked to cross-train and play a little bit of running back and wide receiver in camp for the Jags.
Everyone got this conception that I'm a receiver, but I'm actually a running back who's able to just go out and spread wide and be able to run routes like a receiver. So I feel like just me working on the totality of my whole game is going to help me be much better in the future and be able to go out there and make plays and really just add value. That way I'm just going out there and making plays. Like I'm adding value to the team, not hurting the team by just being a runner.
All right, and the final one from Travis Etienne and then Roy Robertson-Harris on deck. How has he adjusted to NFL life so far?
Having these long days from like 6:30 to 8, really long days. So just having that, but it's really helpful because we don't have schoolwork and things of that sort. So we're able to take care of our bodies, get ahead of our rejuvenation process, and really speed that process up. So, I mean, less school, more football. I feel like it's, me and Trev really love that, and so we're able to come out here and just, be the best.
Roy Robertson-Harris also spoke to the media yesterday, and as you'd expect from the big guys, especially – yeah, every guy on defense, he says, is looking forward to putting the pads on today.
Every single one of us. Every single one of us, man. It's a chance to hit. We obviously on defense hit, so we excited about it. It's been a long time coming, and it's going to be a good day of work tomorrow.
Keep a name out your mouth. You know, I feel like Roy Robertson-Harris and Jihad Ward are going to be similar-minded guys.
Yeah.
Watch your mouth.
Do you see Jihad basically dancing through the warm-ups this morning,
I did.
Too?
Yeah, he was ready to go. Pads on. Let me come on down the conga line here. What are your observations, Roy Robertson-Harris, on this defensive line group that the team has assembled?
Oh, they're my dogs. They're my dogs, boy. I'm talking about every day we come in to work, and, man, we click in. It's a lot of chemistry on and off the field. We're able to talk, communicate on the field. Off the field, we're able to study and get our stuff right. So we're going to be good, man. It's going to be a good front.
I think I could have sworn that was E.T. talking. My dogs.
That's
man.
My dog.
That's your group, man.
Roy Robertson-Harris also asked about the relationship that he has with head coach Urban Meyer.
I got a lot of respect for coach, and he's got a lot of respect for me. He's pushing me every single day to be a leader, be a great player, and just trying to do the best I can to play to the highest level I can and just come to work every day.
Talking about this yesterday, Urban Meyer stressed it on Saturday that he doesn't believe it's any different at the pro level. He will find out whether it is or not, that he believes players ultimately have to play for their coach. And the way to do that is develop a relationship where they know that you have their back and they go out there and want to run through the proverbial brick wall for you, to use that cliche over and over again. But, you know, he's trying to develop these relationships. So the other thing he's trying to do is get these guys ready to go when the season starts, to hit the ground running. And Roy Robertson-Harris said that this camp is definitely getting them in football shape.
Ooh, it's a lot of running. He getting us in shape, that's for sure. I thought I was in shape, but I'm definitely going to be in football shape by the time we're done with preseason. That's for sure. But no, it's good competitiveness. You know, we're competing every single day, and coach is doing a good job of, you know, bringing us together and working together. You know, there's my brothers in there, man, so it's a great opportunity for us. Jacksonville's gonna see.
Yeah, I don't care how much training you've been doing on your own. If you get into training camp and you're like, "Ah, oh, this is pretty easy," then something is wrong, right, with that training camp. It's supposed to be difficult for these guys and push them to a limit. Charlie Strong also spoke yesterday with the media, and he was just asked about the difference in coaching NFL players versus all the time that he spent coaching college players.
Before you come on this level, you hear all these stories about, you know, they're hard to coach and these guys is, but it has not been anything like that. But I think, but just because of the way Urban is approaching the team and what he's asking of the team, and they are just buying into it. Because when you have a group that really want to win, then they'll do everything you ask them to do.
All right, a couple more here from Coach Strong here. Asked about what his thoughts are on the multiple looks that this defense potentially can give a team.
Well, on defense, you had to be very multiple, and you had to be very disruptive because you can't allow the offense to control the tempo of the game. So we need to come with different looks, and we're going to have to do a lot of different things where you mix it up with man coverage, zone coverage. You got to be able to apply pressure, and I think this is what we're doing right now on defense. We're doing those different looks, giving them different looks. And what's really good is our offense has some really good players. So, you know, we're able to cover the receivers we have and then just get off the blocks because our offensive line is big, strong, and physical. Then we're going to have a chance.
Charlie Strong, one more here from him, was also asked about C.J. Henderson, who we know was at least out near the field today, wasn't participating in practice, but was in at least the medical tent today on the field for the first time. And Coach Strong was asked about C.J. Henderson already having missed 10 days.
Well, it's tough when you miss that many days, and now you got to get out here. Once we get him out here, we'll just see. He's been in the meetings, and he's in the meetings, but it's more now that he has missed the work on the field. So that's where he's got to get caught back up.
All right, we'll get caught back up and get after it, C.J. Henderson, as Jaguar training camp rolls on. We'll come back and let you know what reports, if any, come out in the next few minutes from Jaguar practice, as they are out there in full pads. So Caleb Von Chason saw one where he once again got dominated by Walker Little in a couple of reps today as a follow-up to yesterday's action.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But apparently both Travis Etienne and James Robinson have had pretty good moments that have jumped out this morning. So that's a good sign, at least in that regard. All right, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and E.T. We'll come back and take a look at the question of the day, which asked you, if a team came calling, what would it take for you to be comfortable to give up Gardner Minshew? What kind of return would you expect, or would you be willing to accept in a trade deal to give up the Jaguars' ostensible backup quarterback? It's Jaguars Today. We roll on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I'll tell you this, man, in preparation for the competition, I haven't taken a in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. Say that.
Minshew drops the throw. Looks. Pump fake. Wants to run it. Gardner runs it into the end zone for the touchdown. A 6-yard touchdown run by Gardner Minshew, and the Jags are in the end zone for the first time today.
Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Gardner says number two is not an option. I say number seven is not an option. Before you start going, wait, how many bodily functions do you have? I'm talking about a seventh-round pick. Don't give me this nonsense of I'd trade him for a seventh-round pick, Tony Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Not buying that. We'll get to your responses to the question of the day in a moment, asking what would be the price that made you go, all right, I'd probably do that.
Yeah, Chason apparently having a bit of a better day in the one-on-ones this morning. I saw that early on, Walker Little got him a couple times.
Yes.
But that since then, he got by Cam Robinson and got past Walker Little in a couple of back-to-back reps.
You don't get by Walker Little.
He got by Walker Little.
Walker Little allows you by him. Walker Little's got an ulterior motive here.
And a few moments ago, as they're apparently in a team drill, Lawrence with a sideline pass to Marvin Jones on a bounce back, because apparently a few reps before that, he threw a pick to Joe Schobert. Schobert also defended a pass on Gardner Minshew here in the last couple minutes as well. And the Giants are getting ready to run laps again.
Again.
They're getting a full team brawl at Giants camp with Daniel Jones somehow at the bottom of the pile.
Nice. Nice and smart.
Joe Judge is absolutely livid.
Oh,
since
he's cursing his head off. Just ask Kelvin Benjamin.
And he's got the players lined up now to run.
All right.
They keep running laps.
We're going to do laps. He had some of the coaches running laps, too,
yeah,
the last time.
Yeah, yesterday,
time
yep.
All right, let's get our man Byron in Gainesville, because he always gets me fired up. Let's say a quick hello this morning. Good morning, Byron. How are you?
Man. Good morning, gentlemen. Do you have me there?
We have you now.
We got you.
That momentary pause after that beautiful setup had me worried. But go ahead, Byron. What's on your mind today?
Guys, I want to thank you for taking my call and apologize. I wanted to meet you guys. I even heard that day you had that chili. I was going to try to get E's chili. But, man, I went fishing and biting up here in the lake. And I just got so it's so wet around here that it just caught me off. But I'm going to try to meet you guys, and I promise that I'm going to try to get to one of those open practices. And to get to the question, first of all, let me hit my Duval.
Atta baby.
I had to get that out the way. But, guys, you know, I'm more of a thinking on a college perspective, and even with Urban, I don't know if I want to get rid of Minshew. You know, I'm an NBA guy, sort of. I played basketball, and this was the weirdest season, and I don't know if the NFL season is going to be like this, but it seemed like the second string and the bench was important. And in college football, I think that's what Alabama relies on, the two deep. And I'm wondering how much is that in pros. And I even think I like what, you know, even the running backs and the groups y'all have in there. First, I like the brotherhood, because that's what it's all about. A team is something, but a brotherhood is different. And I also like the competitiveness and everybody rooting for each other. So just, I hope we keep two deep everywhere. Keep Minshew. And I think the two deep somewhere down the line is going to pay off. And thank you guys so much for taking my call. I'm going to meet y'all at practice one day.
Hope so, man. We'll be out there Friday doing the show. I plan on being out there Saturday and Sunday. Sunday's the scrimmage in the stadium, mm-hmm. of course. So I'm going to try to be out there all 3 days if possible. But for sure, if you want to come out and meet the two of us, Friday would be a great day to do it.
No doubt, you yeah. know,
but the fish are biting, Tony. We know where we stand, okay? Or swim, and it's behind the fish.
I think this is the first time that we've mentioned this guy's name, at least the first time I remember it coming up in camp. Tyson Campbell locks down Laquon Treadwell. Minshew held onto the ball too long, said John Shipley. Good coverage from the rookie. So
okay.
Yep.
Like I said, Treadwell had a nice couple of plays that stood out on Saturday. Not suggesting he makes a team, not suggesting he's not. You know, I have no idea right now. I haven't seen much out of Colin Johnson at this point in time.
No.
You know, and this team, this regime did not draft him. I'm not suggesting he's on the roster bubble. I don't know. You know, we don't know. We know three guys are locked in to heavy usage roles, and we suspect Jamal Agnew is locked in if you count him as a wide receiver as your primary return yeah. man, and then, you know, there's a whole bunch of contenders.
Yeah, and speaking of guys that we've talked about just not having talked about much, wonderful catch from DJ Chark, apparently, downfield.
Bullet
from Lawrence in a tight window to an in-breaking DJ Chark.
Love it. Hope
there
he played
go.
Big on that one.
Yep.
You know, boxed his man out a little bit. All right, E.T., why don't you fire up a 10-10 take, sir?
10-10. This 10-10 take is brought to you by Baptist MD Anderson Cancer Center. You're cared for by a team of experts working together on a treatment plan that's just for you.
I need your price. I need your price, okay, on what it would take to pry Gardner Minshew from your clutches. Here, if another team called the Jaguars and wanted to trade for quarterback Gardner Minshew, what kind of return would it take you to be comfortable with giving him up? That is our official question of the day. Got a lot of responses. We'll read through a number of them here coming up momentarily. I led off yesterday. Why don't you lead off today, Tony Smith?
Anything day two or better, I'm going.
Anything day two or better.
Yeah,
okay.
So round three or better, I'm definitely going, and probably round four for me as well.
Okay. E.T., for you?
Day two sounds really good. I don't know if we could get a third rounder, but fourth rounder, that's my. That's
fourth what, rounder, and you'll jump on that.
Yeah, fourth rounder.
Okay, I would say a third rounder for me, particularly like I'd prefer it to be from a team that I think might struggle to make the playoffs,
yeah.
you know, but I'll take a third rounder, right? A third round is valuable draft capital now, right? Like we're thinking, hey, man, Andre Sisco could turn into be a long-term answer for this team at safety. We're hopeful that that's
yeah.
the case, right? Now, that was the first pick of round three, but you can find really good players there. For me, personally, I mean, they might do it for a fourth. I don't know what they do it for. I'd be more comfortable, like, give me a fourth and a sixth. Like, I just feel like you spend a sixth on the guy, he can play. Has the league, quote, figured him out? Well, it's tough. The way I envision Gardner Minshew's greatest value being is if your quarterback goes out, and he's got to come in mid-game, and you're like, oh, crap, this guy is going to be running around playing sandlot on me. You know, I mean, you want him to run the offense, but mm-hmm. I think he's got confidence. He doesn't have a big arm. We know that. But he's very accurate for the most part. And look, did he have some rough moments last year? Yeah, but you look at the total numbers that he's put up in his brief NFL career as a sixth-round pick. He has vastly exceeded sixth-round pick expectations for guys we're not celebrating their 44th birthday today, Tom Brady. So,
yeah.
for the most part, it would take a little bit. For me, that'd be my like a third or a fourth and a sixth, something like that. And, you know, if it's the Colts, you know, I think it's how do you feel about your evaluation? You're like, if you thought Gardner Minshew was going to have to start half the season for your division rival, they might be like, all right, go ahead. Then, you know what? We know what his flaws are, you know, and we'll capitalize on that, and so will the rest of the league. So, you know, I understand people not wanting to give him in the division, and I don't think the Colts would come calling, quite frankly. I mean, they'd be calling on Nick Foles well before they'd call on Gardner Minshew because of Frank Reich's relationship with him. But nonetheless, that's how we feel. You guys would – you'd do it for a fourth probably.
Mm-hmm.
E.T., you'd do – what's your bottom line price?
I did it for a fourth because I think if the Colts would come calling, they would have to sweeten it up a little bit.
Yeah, so they'd have third. To – but other teams outside the division, fourth, you'd take a fourth. All right, I'd take a third. Third would be my buy now price. And a fourth and a sixth, the close equivalent to that. Here are some of the responses we got. Let's see. Cristiano said, for a guy who may never see the field, who's a quarterback for most of a 1-15 campaign, a third rounder would be amazing. I'd take a fourth. King's Ransom for a trade within the division, says Nika. I say a third and a player from anyone else. Fletcher Cox, said El Jefe. Okay, that's very specific. I would give him up to anyone beside a divisional rival for a second. Division rival, definitely a first, said Doom. Not going to get that, but that's all right. That's not what we're asking. We're asking what it would take to make you comfortable. Depends on their desperation, says Joey. Could be anywhere from a third to a fifth. Well, I mean, regardless of their desperation, what would you take? Sounds like maybe a fifth would be the lowest. I'd be asking for a second rounder. I'd be okay with a third and a fifth or a sixth, said Scott. I'd want a third in exchange for Gardner and a fifth. A third to fourth rounder or a decent starting level player. I don't know if, you know, I don't know if you get a decent – what is a decent starting level player? Is he a decent starting level player? He's like a break glass in case of emergency type level starting player. Low second, high third for Mr. Padre. Keep him. We know we can at least compete with him if there was an injury. If it's the division rival Colts, it's at least a second. Everyone else, a third would be enough, said Jebediah. Third or fourth or higher with a third or a fourth or higher with a viable player, for Mike. A third and two extra firm blocks of tofu, said Rel. Okay. Am I missing something on the tofu connection? Nothing, said Allison. I don't want him to go anywhere.
Is that like a natural laxative or something? I have no idea.
Not sure. Maybe it is, right? Maybe it is knots you up a little bit. You know, it's hard to say. That's a good question, though. Bane Star said, anyone saying a first or a seventh doesn't understand the situation. I agree with you on, but like, you're not going to get a first. But again, we're not asking what you think you can get. We're asking what you would be okay with. And
sure,
if that's your price, maybe you've got a, you know, some emotional attachment to him. That's your price. But if you think you're getting a first or you think it's a good value to trade him for a seventh, I would disagree with both of those, so then I would agree with Bane Star. He's a valuable backup, no less than a second. Fourth is fair. Third-round pick or higher. I'd take a fourth if it's an NFC team. Third if it's an AFC team. Third plus something if it's a Colts or another divisional team. A toaster turkey sandwich, said Trevor. Should get one of those Dandy turkey sandwiches, man. You might get Gardner Plus for that. Danny knows what they're doing. Third-round minimum outside division only. Fourth and a seventh, said Dustin. Give me a third from anyone outside the division, a second if it's in the division, or a trade for a comparable tight end or defensive end, said Joe. A third, actually, they said thirth. Three TH. Low third, high fourth rounder. That seems to be where the price is for most people, right? Some people are saying a minimum second rounder or higher. I don't think you're going to get that. But again, that is not the question. A first or nothing. Seriously, he's really good. He's cheap. He's at a really important position. The chances of you striking gold on a third or fourth rounder is ridiculously low. Okay, but, you know, you also got to look at, you know, ideally, Gardner never plays. He's an insurance policy. What is the insurance policy worth to you is the question of, you know, and you've invested somewhat in C.J. Beathard. I don't know how they feel when they watch the film, but he's certainly not getting the reps to indicate that they felt great. Now he's on the COVID list. So don't think Gardner's going anywhere for a while. Doesn't seem that way, but any moment something could change on some team's quarterback front. Gardner's got 2 years left on his deal. Super, super affordable years, and there's value to having a backup quarterback who's been there. And done a little of that, at least.
Apparently, Trevor Lawrence is heating up.
Oh,
out
tell?
At
you
training
tell?
Camp practice.
I need this.
A throw in with an extension from Laviska Shenault to make the catch. And as John Shipley wrote it, well, the defensive backs can close in now, but it didn't matter on that laser throw. on in third down drills. Lawrence threw a rocket to Marvin Jones in tight coverage for a big completion.
All right. Well, big difference between lazy and laser.
Yes, there is.
So glad we got that straightened out. Laser throw right there. So other than the pick where Schobert got him today, sounds like he's dropping some dimes out there at practice. So with that said, time to turn it over to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill brought to you by Tire Outlet. Keeping 1010XL rolling with wholesale prices and premium service. Tire Outlet, Jacksonville's largest locally owned automotive repair shop.
All right, Hacker's here. Good morning, Hacker.
Mike, what's going on, man?
Were you out of practice today?
I was. Just got back.
Okay. What did you? What were your observations?
You know, it was good to see some hitting going on. Obviously, a lot of attention was paid to Caleb on Chaisson against the two left tackles and Cam Robinson and Walker Little. Based on what happened yesterday where Chaisson lost the battle, today was a little more even. There were some instances where Chaisson, again, lost, and there were some where he got around, both Robinson and Little. And that's what the interesting thing about training camp is. You talk about day by day, it's literally hour by hour, minute by minute, and even second by second.
Look, man, we're hungry. Their fans are passionate. You wait around, you know, all off season. You get dribs and drabs, and yeah, I understand it, man. It's the most popular sport going, and we're injecting it directly into our veins. You know what I mean? So I love it. I love the fact that we hang on. You know, you have to take a bit of a detached perspective, but fans don't have to if they don't want to. You know, ride the roller coaster, man, and soak it up. You know, and I'm glad that there's that passion for a team coming off a 1-15 season.
Oh, there's no question. C.J. Henderson, I didn't see him participating in any drills today, but he was at least back out on the practice field, so that's good. He's been on the COVID list, I believe, since July 23rd. And since he was back out on the practice field, I think that only leaves Beathard, right? C.J. Beathard would be the only guy still in probably the COVID protocol. Chris Claybrooks was also back at practice today, fresh off the COVID list.
All right, Hack, what do you guys have coming up on XL Primetime?
Dave Campo in the 2 o'clock hour. It was cool. Coach Campo was out at practice as well, and you see a lot of the assistant coaches of the Jaguars, even Urban, coming up and saying hello to Coach Campo, to that fraternity of coaches. And Jay Tefele saw Coach Campo. Remember, Coach was an assistant out at USC when Tefele was out there. So that was kind of cool to be up close and center to watch all of that. And then Jim Ross, good old JR, AEW, back in Jacksonville tomorrow, and his beloved Oklahoma Sooners about to join the Southeastern Conference. So Jim Ross scheduled to join us at 1:40 this afternoon on XL Primetime.
All right, we'll be looking forward to it. Hack, have a good show.
Thanks, guys.
All right, XL Primetime coming your way for the next 3 hours. Hacker, Joe C., Matt Hayes, and Big Surs.
Can't wait.
That'll do it for us today. Jags, just a final thought from ET before we get out of here.
All right, Colts, if y'all want Gardner, 4th and 2 bottles of Hennessy.
Two bottles of
Hennessy? Yeah, got to be 2.
Okay.
Then y'all.
And still a 4th?
Yeah, 4th.
That's
and
the only upgrade is the Hennessy.
Two bottles.
2 bottles.
Yeah, 2.
All right.
I need both of them.
What about, you know what? Jim Irsay might take that, right? He might. You get him in the right mood on Twitter when he's giving away $1,000 for some trivia question. He might absolutely take that. So we'll see if we can get that done. I want a little bit more, I think, because I'm not going to get to share in the hen. I have a feeling, Tony. Mm-hmm. I think that's going straight to ET.
Probably.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow with some more training camp live updates and continue along and hope to see a bunch of you out there on Friday when we broadcast live from Jaguar training camp with the pads on. For Tony Smith, for ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thank you to John Osier and Mike DiRocco for joining us live from training camp this morning. Until tomorrow, have a great rest of your day from everybody here at Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville.
I appreciate it. Y'all have a great night.